Praise the Lord. I feel we have the victory. I don't have any doubt about it because God's on our side. God be for us, who can be against us? We've seen God work in a lot of ways. There's nothing too hard for God. We have read reports in the Bible where He caused the sun to stand still. And we have seen what He is able to do. We've seen His power manifested. It's a simple matter for God to answer every prayer that was prayed in this place today. Hallelujah. I'd like to discuss the church, what the church is all about. I will in no way cover all the details of the church and what it's all about, nor if we would talk in a week of seminars and speak day and night, we could never even scratch the surface. But we're wanting to let the Lord lead us, and I'd like to ask you, if you would right now, to stand and pray for me that God would use me this morning to say the right words so that it will be received in the right way. Jesus, we're asking right now for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I want to speak Your word. God, help us in Jesus' name. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, help us, Lord God, to speak according to the word and the knowledge of God. Not our own understanding, not our own ability, but Your ability. Help us to be receptive to Your word in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. The church that I want to speak about this morning for a little while is the only church that is right. There's a lot of confusion in the world today concerning the differences in churches. There are so many groups who call themselves by so many names, and there is so much division over religion that it's hard for people to figure out who is right. The Church of Christ says, we're right. The Baptists say, we're the ones that are right. The Church of the Firstborn says, we're the only ones that are going to make it. The Catholics say, we are right. The Presbyterians claim that they are right. The Methodists say, we've got it. The Pentecostals say, this is the only way. And within all these groups and other names that we could call out, there are divisions within these groups. There's First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Southern Baptist. There's United Pentecostal. There's Assembly of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's Apostolic. The church world is divided in so many ways that it is so confusing that it is hard for sinners to find where the church really is. So I would like to read to you from the book of Isaiah, a verse of Scripture in Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Today I'd like to say that when you go from this building, if you've been confused over who is right and which church is right, that there is a church that is built on a solid foundation, and you don't have to wonder anymore. Paul said to the church at Corinth in the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians, for other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, he also said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, 19th verse, we read these words, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And finally, I'd like to read Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So the church, after a lot of consideration and trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong, and which way is right and which way is wrong, and a lot of study, I've come to the conclusion this morning that the only people that are right is the Church of Christ. I've heard of a lot of people say, if you don't call yourself the Church of Christ, then you're not biblical, because you should speak only where the Bible speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent. And then I looked into the Word of God and came to realize that there is only one church, and it is the Church of Christ. But not everybody that says we are the Church of Christ is the Church of Christ. There are a lot of things that would qualify you whether or not you are in the Church of Christ. I'm not talking about an ecclesiastical body that claims they're right. I'm talking about God's church that is right, and there is no other church. The Church of Jesus Christ that is built on a solid foundation, that is going to be presented unto God by God, for Himself, through Christ Jesus, the Church of Jesus Christ that is not going to have anything wrong with it when Jesus presents it to Himself. But within these walls, there are people who claim they are members of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, and yet they do not bring forth fruits, such as we discussed last week, the fruits of the Spirit. And according to the Word of God, you either are or you are not in the church of the living God. It doesn't really make a lot of difference what you call yourself, as long as it's not something that is unscriptural. Baptist would be all right. Pentecostal would be all right. Assembly of God would be all right, as long as what you speak and how you live is according to the Word of God. But there is only one church, and it is identified in Christ Jesus our Lord. We call this particular group, this particular gathering of people, this assembly, this place in Balcomville, the Jesus Only Apostolic Church. But we don't claim to have a corner on God's church, and we don't claim that this little plot of ground and the people that meet here are the only people that are in the church of the living God. But we do feel that because we live according to the Scripture and we're trying to serve God with all of our hearts in sincerity and in truth and hold up the banner of Jesus Christ, that we are a part of this great, grand, and glorious church that Jesus is going to have, that's built on a solid foundation, and it will not fail even though Satan tries everything in his power to come against the God's mighty church. He'll never be able to destroy it. Hallelujah. When Paul said for the husbands to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, he was giving us a parallel as to what Jesus has done for his church. He has done everything imaginable to have a clean church, to have a glorious, spotless church. He has gone to the cross, has shed his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse every sin from your life, if you will allow it to. But if you haven't had the blood of the cross applied to your life, then you are not a part of the church of the living God. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. You can claim to be whatever. But unless you have had those sins blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not in God's church. You may come to this place and meet with this assembly and say that I'm a member of the Jesus Only Apostolic Church, And we might even think that you're just all right. But unless your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus, you're not in God's church. You might be a part of a great house that the writer was talking about when he said that in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. But you may be in this building, and you may claim that this is your church, but when God comes to take His bride away, you won't go home to be with Jesus. Unless you are one that has purged yourself. Unless you are one that has come away from the dishonor, and through Jesus Christ, you have become a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. There are some who would try to control your holiness and try to make you live according to God's way by saying you need to fix this, you need to change this, you need to do that. And sometimes we are guilty of dressing people and trying to make them look like Christians. But when God prepares His church without spot, without blemish, He starts way down on the inside of a person. And He works from the inside out. And He perfects holiness from the inside out. And there comes a time that we all come to the unity of faith. And you can tell us that we are a separate people when you see us on the street, because there's something different about us. There's something peculiar about us. It's not that we have been legislated and ruled into dressing alike, nor that we have been forced to do anything by any person, but that God has worked on the heart. That God has prepared a work through His vessel that was a vessel of dishonor and has brought something out of that person and caused it to be a part of a grand and glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. So the church of Christ is right. It's the only church that's right. But as I was talking to a lady yesterday in the hospital, she claimed that she was in the church of Christ. She claimed that she was a part of the church of Christ. I noticed that her temple, if she was a temple of Jesus Christ, was defiled because she was a chain smoker. And I can't see how a person who defiles the temple of the Holy Ghost can really be in the church of Jesus Christ. Even doctors and health experts will tell you that cigarettes are bad for your health, that it is harmful, it is dangerous, and could lead to cancer. And the writer in the Bible says something about our bodies being a temple of the Holy Ghost, that we are bought with a price. We are not our own. And she also had some other things in her talking that seemed to indicate to me that when she said, "I'm a member of the Church of Christ," it did not bear witness with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that we feel and we know to be of God. And her church group taught her through her growing up that the days of miracles are not available today. They were ended when the apostles died, when the early church departed off the scene. She was taught that no longer do people speak in tongues today as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. But yet, as her daughter was lying on a bed of affliction, she called for some people who were not particularly known as the so-called Church of Christ, but she called for some people who are going by a name that is above every name, and they're not ashamed to call on the name of Jesus for healing, for salvation, in water baptism. We're not ashamed to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there on the bed of affliction, there was a daughter. And she was sick, hemorrhaging in her body. And it was looking real bad. But we got a phone call just a few minutes ago. Brother Wages said, they called and said, please tell the church that ever since you prayed that prayer yesterday, the girl has been getting better. The doctor came in and said she's no longer hemorrhaging. And she wanted to give a victorious report to this grand and glorious church. The real true Church of Christ. Hallelujah. When you're in God's church, you don't have to go around making claims all the time, presenting arguments all the time, challenging people for debates all the time. You don't have to go around trying to figure out what's real today and what's not real today. What could be today that's not today, so we're not having it today because it must have passed away because we don't see it today. But when you're in God's church, when you're in Christ's church, everything that ever happened in the early church is still happening today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The days of miracles are not over. I watched a little baby die not long ago. And I'm not fighting any particular group or trying to make any slurry remarks. And if you are from a church that calls themselves the Church of Christ, we're not against those people. We love them. But we feel like that if you are in the Church of Christ, then you will do what Christ says do. And you will live how Christ says live. And you will talk the way Christ says talk. And you will bear precious fruit. But I watched a baby pass away. I watched a father and a mother who claimed that they were in the Church of Christ. And I listened to the minister say to them that there's no sense in trusting God for the healing of this baby. This baby cannot be cured. According to the doctors, there's no way. It's past healing. The days of miracles are over. I'm glad that when I go to church, I don't have to listen to that kind of talk. When I go to church, I can have faith that God is. He's the same today as He ever was. But there, facing death of a little infant child, was a father with tears in his eyes in a hopeless situation. His so-called Church of Christ said, there's no hope for this child. The days of miracles are over. And then he started trying to find out if there's a people anywhere that still clings to the promises of God. He started looking into his Bible and he said, I believe Jesus is still able to do it today if He was back then. And he called this little Jesus-only group of people over here who are trying to live according to God's way and trying to help God to present to Himself a grand and glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And he said, are the days of miracles over? I said, no. Can God heal today? Yes. Do you believe in the laying on of hands? I said, yes. He said, please lay hands on my baby. And we laid hands on the baby. The baby was healed of gangrene of the bowels. The baby was healed of various afflictions. The doctors gave them hope and said, you can take this child home. By Christmas, everything's going to be all right. They were amazed. The parents went around and talked to the Church of Christ leaders and said, God heal my baby. God heal my baby. But because of unbelief and uncertainty, and people not believing that God could do those things today, the doctors decided it would be good to go into surgery with this child and try to see what caused the baby to be well today. Exploratory surgery, they called it. And it was okay with all the kinfolks and all the church leaders because they could not accept the fact that the baby had been miraculously healed. And there on the operating table, for some strange reason, as they had cut the baby open and found it absolutely, it was all right. The gangrene was all gone. Everything was all right, and there was really no reason to operate. The baby started bleeding and would not stop bleeding. And I watched the baby die because of the unbelief of the so-called Church of Christ. I'm glad that we're in a living church And when God speaks, God, it can be heard in this place. When God moves, we can feel His moving. When God leads, we can follow God. When God wants to present to Himself a church without spot, we can say, here we are, Jesus. We're willing to follow You. We're willing to believe You. Hallelujah. We believe You can heal today. We believe You can set free today. We believe You can give us everything that You were promised to us in Your Word. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. So it sounds like that I'm fighting the Church of Christ. But I'm saying that we are the Church of Christ. If it sounds like that I'm throwing stones, I'm not throwing stones, but I'm standing on a sure foundation that can never be broken. I'm standing on a solid rock. We're standing on truth today. The only church that is right is God's spotless, grand, and glorious church that He's going to present to Himself. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. He said, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. Everybody say one body.
One body.
And one Spirit.
One Spirit.
Let's say that again. One body.
One body.
One Spirit. And He said, even as you are called in one hope, say one hope.
One hope.
There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord.
One Lord.
One faith.
One faith.
One baptism.
One baptism.
One God.
One God.
Amen. And what is His name?
Jesus.
I was kneeling with a lady a few days ago. And she said, explain to me why my church baptizes the way Matthew recorded Jesus' commandment and why your church does it the way Peter says it. And you claim to be right and the way we do it is the way Jesus said. And we were in a good place to discuss this. If you can get somebody down on their knees ready to pray, you can talk about the Scriptures a lot better than you can in a public discussion or debate. If you can get on your knees in prayer and say, oh God, give us direction. We want to do what's right. We want to know which is the right way. We want to know which way to go. I said, let's look at it. And we got a Bible out and we were kneeling together in our living room at our home. We turned to Matthew 28:19. And we started reading it. If you've got a Bible this morning, I wish you would read it with me. Matthew 28:19. There in a prayerful attitude, supplication, and meekness, humble on our knees before God, we prayed for direction. And we looked at Matthew 28:19, asking God to have His way. And we read these words. The words of Jesus before He ascended. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Everybody say name.
Name.
And there on our knees, we stopped right there for just a moment and considered, what is the name? You know, Jesus said, I came in My Father's name. He said, the Holy Ghost I will send in My name. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, that which was and is to come, Almighty. He also said, beside Me there is no other. Jesus also said, I and My Father are one. When you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. A lot of people get confused over words like, the Father and Son, and they say, well, that has to be two people. It's not two people, it's a Spirit. that overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and she brought forth a boy, a child, who grew up and became a man, and he was God and man. He was not half man and half God, but he was both Lord and Christ, God and man. He was all things brought into one person that God is. No man has seen God at any time. You cannot see God unless you see Him through some type of manifestation. God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. Some people's theology would say that's another person in the Godhead. God walked with the three Hebrew children through a burning fiery furnace. That would make another person in the Godhead, according to some theologies. God has been manifested in various ways, on various occasions, for various purposes. Even through a donkey, He spoke. He has appeared as a cloud in the sky, as a pillar of fire. I heard one guy say once, I used to believe in three gods, but praise God, I've been converted, and now I know there's seven. But there's only one God. God is a spirit. Everybody say spirit.
Spirit.
And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You cannot see the spirit. If you see God, you're going to have to see Jesus. You cannot see a ghost, but you can feel the Holy Ghost. You cannot see God unless you can see Jesus. And you cannot trust in God's name unless you can find that there's power in the name of Jesus. There is no other name. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Everybody say name.
Name.
Say it again. Name.
Name.
He said, baptize them in the names. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, and also the name of the Son, and also the name of the Holy Ghost. No, He didn't. He said, baptize them in the names. Everybody spell it. N-A-M-E. Is that what He said? How many of you believe He said names? Names? Was it names or name?
Name.
Say it again.
Name.
How many names?
One.
How many gods are there?
One.
He said, baptize them in the name. If I were to send somebody to the store in my name, I would send them in the name of Rendell Rutledge. Or I would send them in the name of Rutledge. I come in my father's name. His name is Rutledge. Now, my father's name was revealed before I was ever born. I didn't even know that his name was Rutledge until after I was about 2 or 3 years old. In fact, I thought his name was Daddy. It wasn't revealed unto me, but there were a lot of people walking around on this earth who knew my father, and they knew his name. But God's name, his salvation name, was not revealed. It was kept secret until Jesus came forth from a virgin. And then in Christ, God placed all power. The Jehovah God of the Old Testament became the Jesus of the New Testament. He is the Jehovah Savior of the world. If you don't trust in the name of Jesus, you don't have a name in the world that you can trust in. If you don't believe on the power of Jesus' name, there is no power that will set you free. And there on our knees as we were kneeling in our living room, we read this slowly and we stopped on the word name. And then I said, let's spell that together. In A-M-E. And it was beautiful there on our knees as she said, I see. She said, it's just like a light went on in my mind. She said, I can see. This was a Sunday school teacher in a church who did not realize that Jesus is the name. She had been baptized. But then it dawned on her that she had only been in the waters of baptism and had only had the preacher to repeat what Jesus said, and the preacher didn't do what Jesus said do. Jesus didn't say go into all the world and preach the gospel and try to be a polyparrot. He didn't say go everywhere and do your baptism and repeat the words that I say. But He said baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's why just a few nights later, after fasting and prayer, she said, I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Now she's a Holy Ghost millionaire. She wouldn't take anything for Jesus' name baptism. There's not any other baptism. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Some people will try to compromise because it's more popular to baptize using titles than it is to baptize using names. Most churches teach you that when you baptize, saying, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that that's all there is to it. That's good enough. That's Jesus' name. But the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And when we read the accounts of where people were baptized, they were baptized in what name? You read Acts 2, Acts 2:38. Peter was standing there with Matthew when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19. Peter heard the same words that Matthew heard. But when he obeyed the Great Commission, he said, when people wanted to know how to do it, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of what? Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts the 19th chapter, you read how Paul the Apostle, who was converted from a world of sin and religious tradition, how he came to a certain place and he found some disciples that had been baptized. They had been baptized, but they hadn't been baptized in the name of Jesus. They had done all they knew to do according to their knowledge. John the Baptist had baptized them and told them to look unto Jesus, look unto one that's coming after me, trust in Him. He baptized them unto repentance. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we hadn't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, how were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Paul told them they needed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he took them and baptized them, and he laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. That's the church of Christ. But some so-called religious leaders say that if you baptize in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues, you're of the devil. There was a man came into our church in Canada and said, I want to tell you that your church is of the devil. Two preachers. Pastoring, one of them pastored in the town where we were, Dawson Creek, British Columbia. The other one pastored about 30 miles out of the city. And they ganged up on me in the basement of my church. And I stood there and he said, your church is of the devil. I said, why do you say that? He said, because you speak with tongues. I said, well, I read it in the Bible. He said, yeah, but you read that in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts shouldn't even be in the Bible. I said, how can you say that? He said, well, Peter didn't obey Jesus. Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost. And he said, the very moment he opened his mouth and said for people to be baptized in Jesus' name, he said, the people that put the Bible together should have noticed that and they should have left that out, because it is very obvious that the Apostle Peter was a false prophet and a liar. That's what he said. And he pastored one of the largest churches in our city. And he also said that anybody who professes they speak in tongues and preaches that you have to be baptized in Jesus' name is going to hell, and there's no hope for them because they're blaspheming God. And if that's true, we're all in trouble. I asked him to leave, and he didn't want to leave until he had me convinced that we were wrong and he was right. I went through this with him, but not on our knees in prayer together. He was red-faced. He was angry, and he was not being angry and sinning not, but he was angry and sinning. He was mad. And he was going to give me a piece of his mind and let me know just how he felt. He said, Matthew was right, Peter was wrong. Jesus was right, what he said was right. And I tried to go through Matthew 28:19 with him, just like I did this lady the other day. And I said, read it with me. He said, I don't have to read it. I know what it says. And I quoted it to him, and he said, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, y'all are doing it wrong. You're doing it in Jesus' name. I said, no, we're doing it in the name. He said, that's what I'm trying to tell you. He said, you're supposed to do it in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, not in the name of Jesus. I said, sir, it says baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, see there? Blinded by tradition and vain deceit. If people don't want to see it, they won't see it. If you start fighting against the name of Jesus, then the Lord will allow blindness to come upon you and you may never see the name of Jesus. If you get the Holy Ghost and you decide that some other way is all right and you start walking another way and not walking in the light as He is the light, you may find yourself stumbling and not know you're stumbling. You may find yourself groping in darkness and think that you're walking in the light. But there is only one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God and one hope and one church.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure, every part maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the church of the living God. As we go along, we'll get repetitious sometimes, but I'd like to review what our standard is. Part of our standard includes love your neighbor as yourself. Do good unto others. The greatest standard we have is the God who put this together for us and wrote it in our hearts. People say this church has no standard, and they're referring to the fact that we don't make a big issue out of a particular thing and say everybody has to do this or that. But I believe the standard of God is love one toward another, not trying to control each other's lives in the congregation. God put a pastor here to teach, admonish, to lead, to guide. Our standard of holiness is to let God work on the heart of an individual, and man leave the heart of the individual alone. Let the pastor be the pastor, and everybody look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, hallelujah, endured the cross, despised the shame. Amen. That's the standard of holiness. That's the standard of the church of the living God. The standard is not what you put on or don't put on. We have personal convictions, and we make our own standards with God. You have standards that you have set up between you and God, and you have said, I believe that it would be better for me to depart from this because it is a bad influence on me. So therefore, God, I'm saying to you that I'm going to turn away from that thing, whatever it may be, and I'm going to live for you. When you've done that, you have set a standard, a conviction that you should never turn back on. But you should not say, now everybody else do it like I did it. And everybody else live according to my convictions, or you can't make it to heaven. You should never say, because I was able to do this, you better do it, or you can't be as holy as I am. Because when you do that, you set yourself up into a condition of the people in Jesus' day that Jesus looked at and said, woe unto you hypocrites. The standard of holiness is something between you and God. The standards of this church is whatever's in that Bible is the standard of God's church. It's a clean church. It is a pure church. It is an undefiled church where people step out of sin into God's clean, precious, spotless, renewed, holy church. That's the standard. Amen. Praise God. Holiness is something that we have to have. But God, don't let me ever get into the place where I say holiness is a thing or an object or a place to go or a thing to do or not do. God works on the hearts. And we lead and we guide. And we set standards for the church leaders. We set standards for those who participate in teaching. We set standards for those who participate on the church board. We set standards for those who take leading parts in the orchestra and in the choir, who take leading parts in the usher staff and so forth. But God, let me never levy on everybody some kind of standard that would become a stumbling block that you could fall on your face because you didn't live up to it. Because it was my conviction and not yours. But work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then follow Christ. And let's let God prepare a church for Himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And when you don't work out your own salvation and you get in trouble by walking on the borderline, and trying to live too close to the world and trying to do things you shouldn't do, things you know you shouldn't be doing, then come running to the church and say, what did I do wrong? We'll show you again where you went wrong and let God lead and guide you until sooner or later you come into a place where you can say, I've got a conviction against this. I need to depart from this. I need to depart from that. And God will have you in His church without spot and without wrinkle. Children come up to me as pastor and say, but I need a note to take to school saying what our church believes about this or about that. And I refuse to give them notes like that. I've been in churches where pastors gave notes and said, our church has a stand, and it's against our standard for our children to do such and such things. And so the children take the note to school, and they give it to the teacher or the principal, and the teacher says, oh, it's your standard, huh, not to participate in this or that. That's right. And they get out on the playground, and they lie, and they cheat, and they're always getting in trouble, slipping around, doing things wrong. And then the school calls the pastor and says, what is this standard business? You got a child here that brought a note and said you're against participating in a certain thing, but yet you allow them to lie and to cheat and to do all these other things. So what we do is we give children a note saying, based upon the child's convictions, this child has a walk with God. As long as this child is walking with God, we stand behind them in their convictions. And we'll go with the child to the school and stand with the principal and the teacher saying, this child says he has a conviction. And we stand on that conviction. But as long as he is living for God, if he's not lying, is not cheating, is not doing wrong, and is living a good life, we'll stand with him. But if he lets you down, we're on your side and we want to work with you because we support our school systems and we want to back those that are teaching our children and we want to give them our love and our gratitude for what they're doing. That's our standard. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. We're just getting started and I wanted to go through a whole lot of things. Sounds like I'm repeating myself a lot and I mean to be because through repetition, you learn. Hallelujah. But I want to remind you of the scripture that says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men's pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Everybody say, from the heart. With good will doing services to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And I'd like to read these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I talked to my parents this morning on the telephone, and I try to remind some of you individually, but I haven't said a lot about it from the pulpit, but you're in a church that he's preaching about and talking about this morning. believes in the movement of God. And I've made different remarks to some of you individually. And I think for the most part, probably most people that's here appreciate the church you're in. But I know sometimes we can get taking things for granted. We can take the Spirit of the Lord and the movement of the Lord for granted. And I don't know, I guess if you've always been in this church right here and you've always had a good move of the Spirit of God, you may not feel anything inside about what I'm talking about, but there's a lot of people who are not privileged to be in that kind of a move of God. And then times there are sometimes people who are privileged to be in it for a little while, and then a different pastor comes along, or something happens in the church or whatever, and a lot of our churches today are falling away. And you've even heard people come. There was a man here last night from Shreveport who was talking about that he had to be here. He had to get in this and feel it again. And I talked to a lady a couple of times this week, and she said that she had gotten in touch with our home. And we don't normally follow up too much on where we're at and what we're doing, because we don't like people to follow us. We like them to follow Jesus. But she was talking about some problems in her church in Las Vegas, and she said, "Brother Howard, if you'd have just called me," she said, "I need to be in a Holy Ghost service so bad," she said, "I'd have flown down there." And I thought, my Lord, and we can't even get some people to come three blocks or two blocks away, and yet somebody feels a need to fly, spend their money out and come so they can be in the presence of God. And God's not just here, as we've said. He's everywhere. But you know how it is sometimes, if you've ever been in that condition, that sometimes you just got to get someplace where God is moving, where you can feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. And she's supposed to call back this evening. It's very probable that she'll come. But the other thing that I wanted to say briefly this morning, talking about this church, it's received a lot of criticism from the television shows that was done, from those who don't believe in television. And radio they believe in, but television they don't. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. But my mother told me this morning that my uncle in Peoria, Illinois, he is a businessman there, been there for several years and has a big store, is well known. And he has one of these satellite things that you've seen advertised probably, or maybe heard about somewhere. They're trying to put a stop to them. I think the FCC is. But he has one of those out back of his house. I think they cost $20,000 or $30,000, I think. But he's got a lot of money. And he picked up the television broadcast from here. And his wife has... And they didn't even know it was going to be on. He talked to my mother yesterday. He picked up Channel 14 on that. Picked up several stations around the United States as they turned that antenna or whatever. And he said that his wife has really been reading the Bible a lot lately. And he said, from that television broadcast, he said, "If I had that kind of faith," he said, "I'd be out working for God 24 hours a day." My uncle is never, as far as to my knowledge, ever went to church anywhere. But that television program reached out and touched him in Illinois. So you never know where your testimony is going to go when it's put over the airwaves. Amen. And you never know, but that one soul might be reached, and you may never see them in this church, and you may never hear their testimony. But because of the broadcast, and maybe because of your testimony of those of you who were on there, that one soul may reach heaven just because that broadcast reached into somebody's home. You may never see or may never know about. And I'm sure there are other places that are the same way. Praise God. So I'm thankful for that this morning. And I just want to give God the glory and the praise and the credit. But in turn, I want to remind you that you're in a Holy Ghost-filled church. We've been singing nightly almost the theme song of this revival. We're in a Holy Ghost revival. And let's learn to appreciate it while it's here. The longer it goes, the closer it is to coming to the end of a series of meetings. But while it's here, you better get in and get your bucket filled up. Hallelujah. This may be the last series of meetings you have before Jesus comes. That may be why the Lord's prolonging it. We never know. Amen. But I just think that we need to appreciate the church that He was talking about this morning. We need to appreciate being in God's church and being a part of it. And that you can go and assemble yourself together and feel a manifestation of God that we've felt here this morning and that we have felt in the days and nights past, that when we've passed by the building or walked into the building or walked into the services, because there's a lot of people all over this United States today that claims to know Jesus Christ in the fullness of His gospel and has Jesus' name baptism even and has the Holy Ghost and can't feel the presence of God moving this morning. Even in their Sunday school, they have a cut and dried format that they're not feeling God this morning. They've had a good thought taught to them or whatever, and they're getting ready to go home now and eat dinner. But I thank God that if God wants to move like He's moved in a different direction in this service this morning, if He wants to move, that there still is a people that is a part of God's true church, that they don't follow a format. They can get the format put aside. They can get out of God's way, and they can let God be in the way, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah! Praise God, and I think that we ought to shake ourselves once in a while and be reminded, especially in the day and age we're living in, of how much the presence of God is important to us, how much the Holy Ghost is important to us, because we can go from one service to another and get in the condition of those people that I'm talking about, because we can say, well, God didn't move tonight like I thought He would, so maybe next Sunday night He will. And then it's the next Sunday, and then it's the next Sunday, and the first thing you know, we're in a dead, dry rut, and we ain't feeling no presence of God, and the worst sinner can come in and can't feel nothing, and they can say, well, I thought that church professed to have the full gospel, and they professed to have more of the truth than anybody did. I went down there and I didn't feel as much as I did going over to the Baptist church. And I've heard that said about a lot of churches. But brother, sister, when they come into a Jesus name, apostolic, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking church, they ought to know there's something different about us. Not just our looks on the outside, but when they're in the worship and in the presence of God's people, they ought to be able to feel that they're in God's church. Hallelujah!
Praise God! Hallelujah! I'd like to ask everybody that will to read the book of Acts as soon as possible, all the way through again. And starting today again, no matter how many times you've read it, if you would, read it prayerfully, the book of Acts in the Bible. Everybody that will. How many of you will try to start on that right away? Would you raise your hand? Amen. Looks like about everybody. Let's read the book of Acts from beginning to end, and let's pray. Let's pray more than we've been praying, that God would continue to move in these services. Also, young people, next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to pass out slips of paper and pencils for all of you at the beginning of the service. And if you have any questions, Bible questions, or anything that you need help on, you can write them down and then pass them in, and we'll try to cover as many as we can while we're going through these sessions. I know there are a lot of questions. I've heard such questions as, why are women allowed to speak in the church when the Bible says don't let women speak? And these kinds of things. And we'll answer these questions so that you can understand why women are allowed to open their mouth once in a while. And, amen. A lot of things are confusing to young converts just coming into the church. And meanwhile, between now and then, just accept it by faith. It's okay to testify, ladies. And we'll let you speak once in a while. Praise God. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.